possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we sing that wonderful song that all things are possible because you're here. And believing, as your prophet said, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. Lord, we come humbly, we come reverently, approaching thy throne of mercy this morning, knowing that mercy is still here for us, because as we walk in the light, as you are in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, as we prepare our vessels for a change of the body. We pray that you'd help change our soul, change our mind, O God. And as Paul said, that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. We see the outer man perishing, but the inner man is being renewed daily. And so, Father, we just pray that not only daily, but, oh God, by every hour. For we sing that sweet song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And, Lord, may we truly have Sweet Hour of Prayer at least once a day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we'll continue in our study from the spoken word as original seed. And we're going to pick up at verse 40, or paragraph 40. And the kind of got two little subjects I'm trying to blend together into one. And so the subtitle is God Hides His Word from the Make-Believer and the Unbeliever. So we're going to talk a little bit about the make-believer, but we're also going to talk about the fact that God hides himself in simplicity. And the way that God hides himself. So, from paragraph number 40, Brother Brown said, if God contradicts himself, he's not no more than I am, or no more than you are. Now, let's just stop there just a minute, because that's a pretty strong statement. You see, because what Brother Branham is saying is, if God could contradict himself, well, then he'd be just like you and me. So what's he saying? Hey, we contradict ourselves. We do. You know why? Because we're not omniscient. Show me one minister in this message who's omniscient. Show me one prophet of God who was omniscient, except for Jesus himself, the prophet. Huh? Come on now, you can take 1,288 sermons of Brother Branham's, and you can find a lot of contradictions. Not a lot, I'm not talking about a lot of where he's wrong. I'm just saying he says words like 300 or 700 or 7,000. That's the man's side. But we look at the doctrine. You see, we look at Christ that he's presenting to us. We find some things he said before the seals were open, different from the way that he said them after the seals were open. That's not heresy. That's just a lack of understanding. And we all say things because of a lack of understanding. Because if we, let's face it, the Bible says if they had known who they were crucifying, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the very fact that they crucified him is because they didn't understand. And many times we make mistakes. We say things that maybe we shouldn't have said. In an effort, many times, we're trying to explain something, and maybe we explain it wrong because we don't have all the facts. But there's none of us here that is omnipotent or omniscient. There's none of us that's perfected in the body, or we'd be gone. So we have our bodies to deal with, and our mind is part of our body. It's part of the six inner senses, which is tied to this body. And, of course, the body, soul, and spirit are all tied together. So what the spirit might not have exactly right comes out of the lips. If a person's mind, their spirit, is focused in a wrong way, that when they listen with their ears, they hear things through a filter. The Baptists read the same Bible that you and I read. But their mind is clouded. They've got a filter, a Baptist filter, over their thinking. And so what they see with their eyes, and it comes back to their mind, is what that filter projects. Do they willingly try to do it? No. Brother Branham said if a person believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he worships God, he said, then he's our brother. He's our brother. Look, Cain was Abel's brother. Esau was Jacob's brother. Now, the problem is that on the side of Abel, he didn't try to do dastardly things to his brother, even though they had different fathers. But on the side of Cain, he's the one that condemned and criticized his brother, killed him. So which father do we have? Which father is manifesting himself through us? Because let's face it, we're supposed to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son in a vast family of brethren. And he was brought forth in the image of his father. So we're supposed to be godlike. And that's what godliness means. It's godlikeness. So Brother Bram said, if God contradicts himself, he's not no more than I am. No more than you are. So what did Brother Brown just say there? He said, look, I can contradict myself. And so can you, he's saying. But God cannot. Because if he can contradict himself, he's just like man. But he's not like man, that he should lie. Now the word's there, but it's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent. That's why someone says that Matthew 28:19 says, where go ye teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. They're contrary. It isn't contrary. So what Brother Branham is laying out for us is, look, God does things a certain way sometimes. Not that it's contrary. It may seem contrary to your understanding. But it's not contrary to the Word of God. Notice that Brother Branham said that God cannot contradict himself, or he would not be God. Now, there is no man living that can say that about themselves. No man. We are all mortals, and we all make mistakes in our thinking, or in the way that we try to line things up, or sometimes in our way of expressing what we are looking at because of our inadequacies and our inability to verbalize what we know by revelation. And I'll be the first to admit that I am not vindicated. I never have been vindicated, nor will I ever be vindicated in the sense that Brother Brown speaks of vindication. Because in the sense of the word, and according to the dictionary only, the word vindicate simply means to prove or proven. Well, sure, you can say, well, I've proven myself in this, or I've proven myself in that. You know, a surgeon that's performed maybe several hundred surgeries can say, well, I'm proven to be a good surgeon. I haven't made any mistakes. But that's not vindication. And certainly not vindication in the way that Brother Branham expressed to us that the word vindication means, according to him. I don't care what it means according to Webster. I don't care what it means according to any other dictionary. I do care what vindication means according to what Brother Branham said vindication means. And as I said, I'll be the first to admit I am not vindicated. I've never been vindicated, nor will I ever be vindicated, because I'm not a prophet. Now, I know that there's many fivefold ministers who would disagree with me and say that the fivefold ministry are vindicated. I do not believe that the fivefold ministry are vindicated. I believe they can teach a vindicated revelation. They can teach a vindicated message, a vindicated word. And maybe they can teach it very, very well. But they, the man himself, is not vindicated. God did not put, thus saith the Lord, in his mouth. And God does not, by his presence, back up that man as having, thus saith the Lord. That only comes to a prophet. So when Brother Bram speaks of vindication, we need to know what he's talking about. Because in the sense of the word, and according to the dictionary only, the word vindicate means simply to prove. But in the biblical sense, it means a whole lot more than that. The word vindicate, as used by William Branham, is that God himself proves his own word in the mouth of his prophets, his messengers, by bringing to pass what the man speaks. In other words, only a prophet has thus saith the Lord. And God gave us the teaching on what to look for if a man comes with thus saith the Lord. Now, I reject this notion that people try to use a quote from Brother Branham that says, Brother Branham says that the bride will have thus saith the Lord. What Brother Branham is saying is that the bride will receive thus saith the Lord. She doesn't go around saying, thus saith the Lord this, and thus saith the Lord that. It's not given for her to do that. But she receives, thus saith the Lord, by a vindicated prophet. You see. Now God gave us the teaching of what to look for if a man comes with thus saith the Lord. Therefore, I do not believe all that nonsense that is going around amongst some message preachers that are teaching their people that the fivefold ministry is vindicated. The fivefold ministry is not vindicated. And if you can show me by Scripture, just one Scripture or just one quote, where Brother Branham says that the fivefold ministry is vindicated, then I will gladly admit my error. But you can't, because that is not the way he used the word vindication. One minister recently tried to tell me that the fivefold ministry is vindicated, and his reasoning for that is that Brother Brown preached a sermon called Five Identifications of the True Church. So he says, see, there's identifications of the true church. And I said, yes, there's identifications, but not vindication. That's two different words. It means two different things. Just like appearing and coming are two different words, and they mean two different things. I said, wait a minute, brother. Identification and vindication are not the same thing. Identification is simply characteristics that identify. But vindication is God's very presence on the scene to back up what you said, as saying, thus saith the Lord. Now, although the true church of the living God may have identifiable characteristics, they are not vindicated. There's only one man that God vindicates in a season, and that is his prophet for that hour. Now, I do not mean to sidetrack from my message this morning, but let me show you that God only vindicates his word by his servants, his prophets. You cannot tell me that God vindicates any fivefold ministry, because God uses signs and wonders, and thus saith the Lord, to vindicate his man for the hour. Therefore, first of all, let's look at the scriptural teaching concerning this. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you open your Bibles with me, beginning at verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So whose words are they? They're God's words. Who puts them in his mouth? God puts them in his mouth. Now that's not the same as some preacher saying, well, God put these words in my mouth and I'm going to tell them, and that's thus saith the Lord. That preacher's out of the will of God. Now, the preacher may be reading from the Bible. That's thus saith the word of God according to Scripture. Thus saith the Lord according to Scripture. That's not you as a vessel of God vindicating that word. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, and if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is a thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. I don't care if he speaks 10,000 times, thus saith the Lord. All 10,000 times better come to pass. You see, God is obligated to his own word, not to your word. He's not obligated to his prophet's word. The prophet is obligated to God's word. And God will not vindicate that prophet if that prophet is in error. Balaam was a true prophet of God with a false message. I don't say he's a true prophet, excuse me. He was truly a prophet of God. He was truly a prophet of God. A fundamental prophet. But he was a false prophet. So truly, he was a false prophet. That's an oxymoron. So God had to make it crystal clear that the man says what God told him to say, and if he says something else, it won't come to pass. God will make sure of that. And if it doesn't, then get away from that man. So God must back up that man if God sends him with a message. Therefore, the backing up of that message is what we call vindication. Outside of that, you're not vindicated. God backs up only his word. He vindicates only his word and his prophet that he sends with it. Now let's see what Brother Branham, a true vindicated prophet of God, has to say about this. From the message, God has a provided way. Brother Branham said, and when God sent a man down, a prophet, who the word of God comes to, he had the original word of God. I have heard the groans of my people, and I remember my promise. Hallelujah. That God don't change. He stays with that word letter by letter. Not only that, but he had vindicated his prophet. He came down, he had a pillar of fire over him, and vindicated him. Confirming the words with signs following. Exactly what God told Moses to do, Moses done. Moses had a lot of impersonators, but in every case, God always rode the tide above all the impersonators and brought it out right. Jesus said, the Bible speaks that in the last days, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will men stand up in the last days, impersonations. He promised it. So from this quote, we can see that God's very presence in the form of the pillar of fire is what vindicated the man with his word. And God don't change, Brother Branham said. He stays with his word, letter by letter. Not only that, but he had vindicated his prophet. He came down. He had a pillar of fire over him. He vindicated him. He was God's. That was God's proving that the man was right, because he's exactly with the word. I don't see pillars of fire over any fivefold ministry. May have a lick of fire. That's different from a pillar of fire. A pillar of fire is the fullness of God represented. So don't tell me that because you yourself, as one of the fivefold ministry, that makes you special to the point of God vindicating you in your ministry. I don't buy that for 2 seconds. I don't buy it for me. I don't buy it for Brother Vail. I don't buy it for any man. There was one vindicated in this hour, and that was William Branham. Again, from his sermon, God's only provided place of worship, Brother Branham said. Now, watch that Cain spirit come right down through the scripture, right on to this very last day, fundamental. Just as fundamental as the other one was. Look at the prophet Balaam and the prophet Moses. Both of them with 7 altars. Jehovah's altars, blood on each one. And not only that, but rams on each one. In numerology, exactly the right number, 7, perfect, 7 rams. Just exactly like both altars, as fundamental as one was, the other one was also. Brother Branham came forth with healing, and he had a sign in his left hand. Or Roberts came forth with healing and had a sign in his right hand. Same signs. But one of them had, thus saith the Lord, the other one didn't. As fundamental as one was, the other one was also. But who did God vindicate? You see, the one, not two. The one that was in his word. Fundamental doesn't mean too much. It's the revelation of God. So you see, though, even though Brother Branham was a prophet, So you see, even though Balaam was a prophet, he was not a true prophet. For he could not stay with God's word. Listen, a prophet is not just someone that sees visions. He is a revealer of the divine word. That is the main focus of his ministry, is to bring the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord means God said thus to that prophet. He brings it to the people, and he said, God told me, thus saith the Lord. Well, what if God didn't tell him? You think God's going to back it up? Well, I feel the power. So what? You might have just been plugged into an electric cord. From trying to do God a service, Brother Branham said, I heard a guy say one time, I believe that that man prays for the sick. I believe it's fine. But as being a prophet, said, I believe he's God's prophet. But as a teacher, why, he's a Jesus only. Now the man was talking about Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, what kind of a person would you call that? A man doesn't even know what he's talking about. The very word prophet means that he's a revealer of the word of God. The interpretation only comes to that. And that's why today we're in such a need of this great person that's supposed to be sent to us in the form of the prophet Elijah. Because it'll be the revelation of God made known to us by vindication, showing that it's the day and the hour and the season that God promised it to be in. And remember, he'll be spoken against, always has been, always will be, rejected just like the shuck will pull. First he'll be accepted because the shuck only holds the wheat until it's able to get forth to the sun. Pentecost will only shelter the message, giving it an open door until it gets scattered. Then the shuck will pull away and the wheat will lay in the presence of the sun to ripen. So it's got to be rejected. Part of any ministry of God is that it will be rejected if it's of God. It's got to be. You see, in Moses' day, the so-called ministry tried to usurp his authority and his position with the people. And God took them off the scene real quick. You do not mess with a prophet and try to use your works as a minister to make yourself somebody. From a sermon, Works is Faith Expressed, Brother Branham said, who was first? Moses. Then they impersonated him. But the great truths still remain the same between the right and wrong. They cannot accept the message. They cannot accept the message. That's unadulterated from the Word of God. I don't care. Judas could have done all the signs and wonders. But when he came to receive the Holy Ghost at the day of Pentecost, he showed his colors. The devil can come right up and impersonate right to the very thing till it comes to this word, but he can't take all that word. He can bring it all up, maybe to one word like Eve did, the devil did to Eve, but he can't cross it over, or can't cross it all. Because the only thing is the body of Christ. See, word now. Neither could, they could not, they cannot take the message now. Neither could Jannes and Jambres take Moses' message. They could not do it. Their work of impersonation was made known because they could not be able to follow God's word vindicated by his anointed prophet. And so all you have to do is look at them. You want to know if a fivefold ministry is vindicated or not? Let me tell you one thing right now. He's not. There is none. But let me tell you one thing. Do you want to know whether that fivefold ministry is teaching the same thing William Branham, vindicated prophet of God, taught? Listen to him talk. See if he takes it back to the Word of God like Brother Branham did. See if he stays right with the tapes and says all that's on the tapes. But the thing of it is, most of these ministers, and I'm not here to preach a negative sermon, but what I'm trying to get you is to understand that most of these people are pointing to themselves for one reason. They're trying to tell you that the fullness of the Godhead is in the bride. Got a prayer request this week from Africa. I won't say which country. And it was a prayer request for the brother's daughter, and I certainly believe in praying for the brother's daughter. She has some type of a spinal injury. But he began by saying, something about the bride of Jesus Christ in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells. Let me tell you one thing. God does not dwell. The fullness of the Godhead does not dwell in the bride of Jesus Christ. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in one man. One man. And that was the Son of God. The Son of God. The firstborn Son of God. Now, Brother Branham never said anything about the fullness of the Godhead being in us. He said among us. And I believe the fullness of the Godhead is among his bride, but not certainly in his bride. And so from Works as Faith Expressed, Brother Ram said, God vindicates his anointed prophet. Again, from a sermon, events made clear by prophecy, Brother Ram said, now every time that the clergy gets mixed up, and God foreknew that they would, for he foreknew all things. Therefore, he has his certain prophet ready for that age, to call his elect by his a vindicated word of signs and wonders and confirmation of his word, confirming the word with signs and following, as he promised. He gives a true interpretation after the prophet himself has been vindicated. All but those the elected to whom he is sent, they hate him. So everyone's going to hate him except the elect he was sent to. Now examine every instant and see if that's not right or not. Only the one that he sent to, he came to his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. To them gave he exousia. To them gave he the ability to make a right decision, to be what they're ordained to be. And for marriage and divorce, Brother Ram said, now you believe this to be true and believe it to come from God, and by the vindication of his cloud and his message, that's brought me this far. So we see that Brother Brown's letting us know the cloud. That was another form of vindication. That pillar of fire, that was another form of vindication. Why? Because God's presence was in the cloud. His presence is in the pillar of fire. So vindication outside of presence is not vindication. It may be a good guess. Maybe getting lucky. Maybe saying something right by chance. But certainly not saying it right because God said it to you audibly. And then you have thus saith the Lord. From why it had to be shepherds, Brother Adam said, now, notice how, again, the never-changing God, the great shepherd prophet, took them that stayed by him and with his ministry to Mount of Olive. The great shepherd prophet, the one we're speaking of, Jesus. He seen and heard the Father, the same pillar of fire, vindicate him that vindicated Moses. The same God that Moses spoke of, come over Moses and proved by a pillar of fire that he was Jehovah that was leading Moses. What do you pick up from these things, Brother Bram, saying? Jesus himself, God came down, overshadowed him. The same God that overshadowed Moses in a pillar of fire came down over Jesus, that light coming down over him. That's vindication. That's vindication. You're not vindicated because you've got a big church or a big worldwide ministry. That has nothing to do with vindication. You're not vindicated because you've got popularity or you've got money. It has nothing to do with vindication. Vindication is simply God's presence coming down and manifesting himself to be with that person. So again, I want you to notice that God's personal presence is what vindicates his prophet, even his son. We also see in the next quote, recognizing your day in his message, Brother Bram said he didn't show himself down in Egypt just only by miracles and signs, but when he got them all together, gathered together, he appeared to them again and vindicated Moses' ministry before the elected and called out. How did he do that? A pillar of fire led the people, came down over Moses. When that prophet had chopped them loose from the nation and brought them into that place, then the pillar of fire again, and on top of Mount Sinai, parallel with today. Amen. Praise be to God. It's more than life to me. Brother Ram showing the parallel in his own ministry. Again, from voice of the sign, he said, how that Elijah condemned the generation with all that was in him, and God vindicating him that he was a prophet just before the coming. Who vindicated Elijah? God did. How'd he do it? Signs and wonders. From only one way provided by God, Brother Brown said, God provided Israel a way. He anointed a prophet, sent a pillar of fire, and vindicated the word that the prophet spoke by signs and by signs of creation. Notice that God also uses signs and wonders to back up that prophet. Now look, if anyone has signs and wonders following, I've seen it in my own ministry. We've seen the deaf hear. The eyes of the blind come open down in Peru. The lame walk. Body parts that were cut off grown back. We've seen storms stopped and extreme weather change. Even signs in the heavens above. Horizontal rainbow coming down from heaven. And settling right over the church I was preaching in, then coming full circle around the sun, right over the church building that we were preaching in. But I do not have vindication. I have signs following, yes. But I am not vindicated. I am not a prophet of God. I do not have thus saith the Lord. Now, those things may be a confirmation of the Word of God because God said that these things would happen in His Word. In Mark 16, He said they would lay hands on the sick, they would be healed. That's not vindication. That's simply God's Word coming to pass. James 5, they call for the elders, they lay hands on the sick. If any man had sinned, they'd be forgiven and they'd be healed. It's not vindication. Vindication is when a man comes with, "Thus saith the Lord, God told me to tell you this," and he tells it in the name of the Lord, and it comes to pass. Now, if these many, many signs and wonders taking place in this ministry, and I do not claim vindication, then how is it that these brothers out there with no signs at all, except they got numbers, lots of people in their churches? Or perhaps they have Mark 16, James 5, and yet they want to tell the world that they're vindicated. Well, brother, I wouldn't want to have to try to explain my presumption and assumptions at the White Throne Judgment. So you'd better just say what the prophet said and stick with what he said and say what's on the tapes. Now, I've seen a lot during my ministry over the years, but I have nothing compared to what God did through His prophet, William Branham. He had more in one meeting than I have had in over 1,300 sermons. So why do you think it takes me 150-plus sermons to preach one of his? He said more in each tape. And I marvel how he could say all of that in just 1.5 hours. And the same with miracles and the supernatural. Some of those meetings he had more miracles in those meetings than they had in all the Bible put together. At least in the written Bible. Because John said many more things as he said, and there'd be no books that could contain the things that he did. That is why Brother Branham could say in his sermon, "Christ is the mystery God revealed." Who did the word of the Lord come to? Prophet alone. That's right. Is that right? And the prophet had to be vindicated first. Not because he said he was a prophet. Because he was born a prophet and proved to be a prophet. And everything he said was exactly on the word and come to pass, then everything else let go. And from "Be Not Afraid," he said, our people are told in the Bible that the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, a prophet only. And then first this prophet has to be vindicated by God. He has to tell the word, and the word has to come to pass time after time. They're born. They're just not somebody laid hands on them and made them a prophet. They are born. There's a gift of prophecy that can come, but a prophet is born a prophet. Jeremiah was. Why, God said, before you was even formed in your mother's womb, I ordained you a prophet over the nations. John the Baptist, 712 years before he was born. Isaiah said he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Jesus Christ was the Son of God before the foundations of the world. He was the woman's seed that was to bruise the serpent's head. Certainly, God places these things. God has set in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, all these things God placed in the church. Then there's 9 different gifts who operate in the church, but these are offices that goes in the church. There's only one that's vindicated. So we are supposed to go along with these puffed up ministers and believe that they're vindicated just because they say so? Not in your life. Again, he said, from Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Notice in the seer how that when you know he's coming forth, he's divinely vindicated by foreseeing it comes to pass. If there be one who's a prophet, will speak to you and let you and tell you certain things that's going to happen. And if it don't happen, don't listen to him. But if it does happen, then I'm with him. You better fear him because I am with him. See, that's exactly, there's the vindication. There's where you know whether it's the truth or whether it's not. So notice the vindication, he said, is that God will be with him. God will be with that man. Well, what if a man comes down the road here one of these days and he comes with a gift of knowledge, very similar to Brother Branham's gift of knowledge? He points you out, tells you what you've been praying about, tells you certain things in your life. You going to run for that? A lot of people in this message are. The Bible predicted that they'd come with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, those that are geared to the gullibility of perishing. It says God will send a strong delusion. If they can run after men who have nothing in the way of supernatural, but just they can really sing, or they got great music, or they make you feel good because they tell you you're God. You say, oh boy, that's great, I'm God. And Brother Vail said, I've got a hangnail, heal it. How could anybody be so puffed up to think they're God? My goodness. Angels will walk with hobnail shoes fools will walk with hobnail shoes where angels fear to trod. Again, from Christ's mystery, God revealed. From warning, then judgment, Brother Brown said, what about Jonah going through the streets saying, oh, the city's going to be destroyed with so many 40, within 40 days, then God didn't do it. You see, you have to watch. God don't always strike when he warns. There's one thing, then the prophet is mocked. But if he is a vindicated prophet with the word of the Lord, see, signs of God vindicated, as God said the prophet would be vindicated, which these men were, see, his word is not his, but it's God's word. And it will come to pass. It's got to come to pass if it's God's word. There's only one thing that can stop it, and that's a quick repentance. How many in here do not want your life, the things that you've said about other people, the things that you've done that are wrong? How many don't want those things shown back at the White Throne Judgment? How do you stop it? You go make it right. You go make it right. And you put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. And when he sees you, up pops the blood. That's the only way. We brought that out several months ago. Brother Ram said that exactly. He said, you make that right. Well, I made it right before. I made it right to God. Listen, if you hurt somebody, you make it right to that person. You didn't hurt God. You hurt that person. Well, it's just an opinion. Yes, and that opinion can take you right to hell. Your attitude is what stands between you and God. So place the blood over it and get your attitudes right. Let the attitude that was in Christ be in you. Why is it that people think that their way is the only way? It's because they're immature. They have not grown in the grace of God. They don't realize that God has flowers of various varieties. God makes some weak. He makes some strong. Makes them beautiful. Makes them pretty ugly. That's God's way of doing things. From the third Exodus. God chose in the days of Exodus, he called out a group, and out of that group, I want you to notice something, he only got two that went to the promised land. What did he choose to take them out by? Politics? Organization? No, he chose a prophet with a supernatural sign of a pillar of fire that the people wouldn't be mistaken. What the prophet said was, thus saith truth. What the prophet said was the truth. God come down in the pillar of fire and vindicated himself. Showed his word, that's right. That's what he brought his first Exodus. His second Exodus, God always goes in threes. He's perfect in threes. So the third Exodus has to be the same. So what is God vindicating then? Is he vindicating the man or is he vindicating his word? He's vindicating his word. And that this man is a man that's got my word. From the seventh seal, Brother Bram said, now notice, Israel's believers only are told in the Old Testament to believe their prophets after the prophet has been vindicated. If there be one among you who is spiritual or a prophet, I, the Lord thy God, will make myself known unto him and speak to him in visions, through dreams, interpret dreams. Somebody have a dream, the prophet will be able to interpret it. And if he has a vision, he speaks it. I'll make myself known to him through visions and dreams. Make myself known. And if what he says comes to pass, then hear that prophet. Because I'm with him. If it doesn't, then don't fear him at all. That's right. Get away. Just let him alone. All right, then I have a question for you. And I don't say this to be disrespectful. But I do say this just to lay it out on the line. Brother Branham said Joseph Branham was a prophet. But until God vindicates the man by his presence, and thus saith the Lord, you don't have to hear him. He's not the messenger to the age. He's like any other fivefold ministry, and there are prophets in the fivefold ministry. But if he sticks with the word, then you're hearing the word. If he sticks with what's on the tape, you're hearing what's on the tape. But a prophet doesn't point out another prophet, and that is what vindicates him to be a prophet. Neither does a prophet indicate a man to be a teacher, and that vindicates that man as a teacher. The man's not vindicated. He's indicated by one who's vindicated. But what's the fruit of it? Watch what he does with the word. Brother Brown calls some guys his Timothy. And they've gone way off into left field and said some pretty egregious things. Well, does that mean that the man's Brother Brown's successor because he called him his Timothy? You see, we need to be careful. I've heard people say Brother Vail's vindicated. Brother Vail himself will tell you he's not vindicated. He was vindicated by one who's vindicated, but that's just leave it at that. If he came saying anything other than what the prophet said, then either God would have to correct him because he said it with maybe because the understanding wasn't there, in which you've heard Brother Vail himself bring some things up. We all have to do that. If we say something doesn't exactly fit with what the prophet says, we have to make that right. But Brother Vail does not have thus saith the Lord, and he's never claimed to have thus saith the Lord. Don't make him a vindicated teacher. He's not. He's a fivefold teacher. He's not above the fivefold, as some would try to make him. He's a teacher. Brother Ramsey, people don't understand the a teacher takes the word to a depth that a pastor or evangelist can never do. Doesn't make him vindicated. Just says he's a teacher. Then we've got a lot of guys who claim to be teachers and they couldn't even teach a Sunday school class. They're not teachers. They're just puffed up. From the seventh seal, Brother Bram said, now Israel, believers... Israel's believers only are told in the Old Testament to believe their prophet after the prophet's been vindicated. So, where's the vindication? We know the vindication is that pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud. God's presence manifesting himself with signs and wonders. Have you seen it with anyone outside of vindicated prophet William Branham? Oh, we've seen signs and wonders, but not the very literal presence of God in the form of the pillar of fire. And I don't think the rainbow constitutes a pillar of fire. From the breach, Or from Seventh Seal, Brother Ransom, now notice, Israel believes only her prophets after they are vindicated. And from the breach, he said, now notice, the seventh seal holds the mystery of the book until we can see that those seven seals has sealed in. We're only presuming them things until they've been sealed in. Because as I've told you this morning, upon my little message this morning of God hiding in simplicity, you see, we are sure to miss the thing unless it is absolutely genuinely revealed by the Holy Spirit and vindicated the same. See, if the prophet rises and tells you that this is just that, and God don't vindicate that thing, forget it. But God, in every statement, in everything, has to vindicate it to make it right. See, so his children will watch those things. What's he saying? He's saying, look, until it manifests itself, forget it. I don't care there's what you think of the tent. What your opinion is of the tent. It's exactly what Brother Branham said. Leave it at that. You try to say it's going to come to this city, that city, this city, that city. It'll come the way God wants it to come. Learn to stay with what he said. From investments, he said, you see, God watches over his word to vindicate it. And how can he vindicate it when we deny that it's the truth? How many believe there's going to be a rapture? How many believe that the rapture, actually, Brother Brown said, begins with a shout? It's a message. Next thing is the voice. You believe it? You think Noah would have believed it if he didn't build the ark? Noah's building the ark proved that he believed it. Brother Brown said, Moses said, when God said to Moses, speak and go forward, he said, until Moses put his foot into the water, nothing happened. God was waiting on Moses to put his foot in the water. God was waiting on his son to step forward toward Calvary while he was there in Gethsemane. Brother Brown said that was the greatest victory that he had. We have a promise of a change of the body. Is that correct? How does that change of the body come? It comes by a renewing of the mind. Is that what Paul said? A transformation begins with the renewing of the mind. Then let your mind be renewed. Brother Branham said, with all these understanding, with all these things in the seven seals, he said, just one thing. Just live a good, godly, Christian life. Are you living a good, godly, Christian life? Does your life bear witness to the great shout that we've had in this hour? Are you praying without ceasing, as Paul said we should? While you're on the job, are you praying? While you're driving your car, are you praying? While you're yelling at your husband, are you praying? While you're yelling at your wife, are you praying? When you're talking to your kids, and are you praying? You kids, when you're talking back to your parents, are you praying? Are you showing that you're looking for a change of the body? Are you living a godly life so that God can fill you completely with His Spirit? And the only way that we'll ever be able to be the images of God and the sons of God is for God to reveal to us and express Himself through us, His Word to us, and us to the world. That's the only channel. For Christ was the image here on earth that you could see God in man, expressed the image of God, because God was in him so much that they were one. And now when Christ left, he sanctified the church that the church might take his place and express the word of God. See, that's the only way it can be done. Are we living a sanctified life, a holy life? From the Evening Messenger, he said, now for it is the prophet that the word always comes. If they are a true prophet of the word, God vindicates his word by that prophet. Now, there's been many false prophets. We've had them through the ages. We go back to the Old Testament, see them raise up and speak in the name of the Lord. It wasn't right. God would have nothing to do with it. He never vindicates nothing but his own word. He wouldn't run his business like that. See? You just remember, God only vindicates his word, and only a true prophet is. And the only way that you can tell whether he's true or not is by the word. That's the way to judge him. And from sign of his coming, Brother Brown said, a vindication of God's word being true, God bears record of his word by his signs. From show us the Father, he said, what was a prophet? A divine interpreter of the word. Had the divine interpretation, the signs of him foretelling and foreknowing, that was to vindicate to the people that he was a prophet. From blind Bartimaeus, remember, the vision does not heal the people. The vision is only a vindication that the word is right. How many knows that the word prophet means? Sure you do. A prophet means that one that foretells or foretells. And it's a divine sign from God that this person that speaks has the right interpretation of the divine word. Because the word of the Lord comes unto the prophet. The prophet foretold and done those things, which is a vindication that he had the interpretation of the divine word. And from Be Not Afraid, he said, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, have faith in God. It's all over, brother. Just believe it now. We are strangers to one another. Now, that ought to settle it for the whole group of you. Does that confirm that I'm preaching the truth? How would God let me tell you something wrong and stand up with my very message? These things are only to indicate a divine vindication that my theology is right. That's exactly right. The word of the Lord come to the prophet. You believe that with all your heart? I don't know you. Jesus knows you. You're a very fine person and you're not here for yourself. You're here for someone else. It's your daughter. You believe God can tell me what her problem is or her trouble is? It's in her spine. That's true. If that's right, raise up your hand. Now you believe with all your heart. Show me this in the message. You see, that was a sign to show you that his theology is right. I hope mine is. I hope mine is. But I'm not vindicated. I hope Brother Vail's theology is right. But you know, he's not vindicated. So we're trusting that we're saying what the prophet said. You know, I get criticism. They're even writing a book now about me. All these heresies, supposedly, that I've spoken. I think it's very interesting because the things that he's writing as heresies are exact quotes from Brother Branham that I've said. Oh, yeah. I ought to give him a real nice letter and just say nothing but what Brother Branham said, but don't say that it's Brother Branham saying it. We'll let him tear that one to pieces. Like what Brother Branham said, that he said that where there was, when God said, let there be light, and he brought forth the light, he said, now we have two beings now. That's a heresy. Because I said it. That's fine, but Brother Branham said it. You see, they just don't know. Like when Brother Branham said that God was not in Jesus until the River Jordan. That's a heresy. Well, I'm glad that what they call heresy, God calls true, because God vindicated prophets said it. Oh, they're searching my website. I've got 1,300 sermons on my website. I preach more sermons now that are available than Brother Branham did, 1,288. Brother Vail, 1,200. Doesn't make me anything. It's just that I've exposed myself to the world. And you know what? The way I preach, you know, I take what Brother Branham said, I take what the Scripture says about it. So if they're going to condemn it, they're going to have to condemn the Scripture, they're going to have to condemn Brother Branham. Because I don't have my own opinion. I say what the prophet said, and I take it back to the Word. That's okay, though. Maybe sometime in the process of going through 1,300 sermons, a man might get born again. But I kind of doubt it. You know why? Because they're not going looking for truth. They're going looking for fault. And Brother Ram said that the make-believer hangs on and on and on trying to find fault. So be it. From Be Not Afraid, he said, you believe in the Lord. We read that. From Redemption by Power, he said, I'm not reading your minds, friends. I only speak the truth, and God vindicates it to be the truth. From Do You Now Believe, he said, If I've told the truth of Jesus Christ, then he will vindicate that I'm telling the truth. And from in talking about the discernment of visions in a sermon from the Message commissioning Moses, the prophet, Brother Brown said, only thing that this does, which is the discernment and the visions, is just declare his presence. It's in a vindication of him being there. And from Expectations, Brother Brown said, but the only person that has a right to say, thus saith the Lord, is a vindicated prophet. You've never seen anybody judging Isaiah or Jeremiah or those people. They were prophets, foreordained and born into the world to be prophets. And they foresaw the thing by a vision and then said, thus saith the Lord, for the Lord had already said it. So what the church needs today is a good old-fashioned teaching of the gospel. That's right. To know where they, I don't mean just educated teaching, I mean spiritual teaching. Some people speaks about God and knows nothing about him. You see, you must get down and deal with the actual spirit itself, you see, to know what you're speaking of. And from the Message, presuming, he said, no, now visions doesn't heal people, visions only vindicates the presence of God. And from Their Eyes Were Opened, he said, the vision doesn't heal, the vision only vindicates his presence. Now I'm getting back to our text this morning. Brother Brown said, from the Spoken Words Original Seed, paragraph 40, said, the word's there, it's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent. So the word is there, but they just can't see it or understand it because it's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent. Now, why would God hide his truth in his word? That's why we had all this discourse with that foreign minister. And I really don't care what he believes or what, for that matter, what anyone else believes. What you believe is your business, and that's between you and God, but just don't lie about it. And don't try to tear down others using lies. If the thing is worthy of being torn down, then you don't need to lie about it. Just show it from the Scripture, because after all, there is none vindicated except God's prophet in this hour. So don't try to tell me that you're vindicated, because I'll call you a liar and a deceiver if you do. Show me, thus saith the Lord, if you're vindicated. Show me God's evidence of backing you up with signs and wonders and his written word coming to pass, but you can't. So just shut up and sit down and put on the tapes. Brother Bram said, God's word does not contradict itself. It can't be, and him be God. And God is the word. It's just that plain. If William Branham wrote the Church Age book and it's backed up by Scripture, then believe it. That's all. And if you can't believe at all that the prophets have said, then don't claim to be a defender of the word of God and the prophets. And don't use lies to try to make your point. Like the man says that I was a subscriber to his books. I never subscribed to his books. He sent them to our church. I never asked him for them. But that's how they operate. They send you their stuff and they say, well, he gets my teaching. He's a subscriber to my books. Look, I put mine on the website. If they want it, they can go get it themselves. Unlike all these other ministers who send theirs out in emails, whether you want it or not. Then they say, well, I've got an email list of 1,000 people. They all get my sermons. Well, do they want them? Ministers send out their sermons. I've had brothers tell me, I don't know why they're sending them to me. I don't want them. I never asked for them. You see, it's the way they do it. Then they can lie about it. But the Word of God is so full of genuine promises. Why spend your whole life hunting the false? But that is what these brothers have done. They have spent their entire life in the ministry to look for faults in others. And that is what Brother Brown described the make-believer as. From his sermon, Go Wake Jesus, he said, now there is another group that always hangs around. That's the make-believer. Now that make-believer is considered the hypocrite. Now let's take a make-believer. It was Judas. He was the make-believer. And the make-believer hangs on and on trying to find some way that he can get something on it. They stick around long enough just to find out if they can't find a little fault, then go out and expose it somewhere. So I tell you, what kind of a spirit is in a man who dedicates his entire life to who's trying to find faults in others. It shows that he's a make believer. Not because I say so, for who am I? But God's vindicated prophet said so. From three kinds of believers, Brother Branham said, as a guy said to me one time, a minister said, I don't care, Mr. Branham, how many people you can produce that said was healed, I wouldn't believe it. I said, certainly not. You can't believe it. You're an unbeliever. It wasn't for you. It's only for the believers. You've got to believe it, see? And they do not believe it. So when you see a person in that, well, did Paul speak of the prophets, saying that they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, the power of the word, from such turn away? Notice, they deny the whole of the word, but in every form, every religious, very, very religious. They are unbelievers in the true word, though it be vindicated. All through every age, God vindicated the word of these people. I've talked about Noah and on down through Moses and all the prophets and so forth. God spoke through the supernatural and vindicated the word, and yet these people walked right out of it. And again, from Brother Branham's three kind of believers, he says, see, make believers, deceivers, trying to find fault with God and his word. And again, from three kind of believers, said, now the third class that we're speaking about is the make believer. That's the boy, the make believer. Now remember, in there stood all three. Now we find out that they do exactly like their father does, Judas. There was Peter and the rest of the apostles, believers. There was the 70 unbelievers. And there was Judas hung right on there. He was a make-believer. What do they do? This is the kind that holds on until they can find something, a fault in it. So you see, there are three kind of believers right in this message, and make-believers, and those who always are out to find fault with someone else. And believe me, as humans, we all have faults, but that is what I love. That's what love is supposed to do. Love covers a multitude of sin. 1 Timothy 6 and 3 says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, what do you consider as a wholesome word? See, what's a wholesome words? Huh? Well, what are wholesome words? Wholesome. Okay, good. Good words, Ron? Wholesome words.
Something that's just has a pure to it without your malign somebody.
Okay, so it's pure, it's not malicious. Alright, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ under the doctrine which is according to God-likeness, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereby cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men and corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. In other words, just look, just don't have nothing to do with them. They go their way, you go yours. When Lot and his guys were fussing with Abraham. Abraham said, all right, you guys just take whichever way. You want the valley, you can have the valley. You want up here in the hill, you have the hill. Just go. Don't put up with it. Just go. Don't get tat for tat. You know, you got to box them out. Let it go. So the Apostle Paul tells us how to handle such a one. He says, depart from them. For the folly will manifest itself in due time. From the unveiling of God, Brother Branham said, it brings back to the same thing in every congregation. Oof, listen up. Is this a congregation? He says, in every congregation, you have make-believers, unbelievers, and believers. It's been in every congregation. It's been in every congregation. You find them all the time. Some of them make out like they're believers. That's the worst type. Then they have those who are actually unbelievers. He won't bother you. He'll just walk away and shake his head. But those who make believe, they say that they're believers. That's the kind you have to watch. It's those make believers. And then these some genuine, then there's some genuine believers. See? Them three's there. There was the unbeliever. As soon as he said, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, oh man, that was it. The other one was a make-believer. They stayed till, like just like Judas did, right up to the end. But then the real believer, they couldn't explain it, but they believed it anyhow. They went on through. Now, am I saying that you people here are make-believers? Some of you, unbelievers? I'm not saying that. Every congregation, this congregation has been for 26 years. We've seen him come. We've seen him go. So, there's been a lot of people through the doors. But every congregation, there's three kinds. Now, go wake Jesus, Brother Ralph said. They turned their back upon it, walked away. They're unbelievers. Make believers still hang on to find fault with it just as much as they can, on and on. But what is it? The same thing repeating again. On and on. Keep pointing, keep pointing, keep pointing, keep pointing. That's why I say in marriage, don't bring up anything that's over 7 days old. That's a rule. And if you break the rule, listen, if something's been put under the blood between husband and wife or children and parents, if something's been put under the blood, Brother Branham said, and I verified it with Billy Paul, if you take that thing out from under the blood, you are guilty of that sin. So now you are the one who did that sin. And God holds you accountable for that sin. So together, put whatever is ailing you under the blood of Jesus Christ. Then darens you bring it up again. Why focus on faults and on negativity when there's so much good to be focused on? I'll tell you why. Because your mind are petty when you do that. You're immature. I was in the bank, the post office the other day, and I heard some woman in her, looked like she's maybe in her 70s, sound just like a little 15-year-old girl talking about somebody else. Just yankety, 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 yankety. Oh, I don't know why she does this. I don't know if she's going to have enough money left for this. I don't know. And the other woman just kept sitting there, and I walked by, and I looked at her, and she looked, you know, the other woman, I looked at her, and just, you know, I feel sorry. In your 70s and still nitpicking. You think, you know, you get over that when you pass teenage. Why is it that people do that? It's petty. There's so much. God has given us so much wonderful things in this life. Why focus on the negative? I'll tell you why. Because Brother Branham says you are a reflection of where you're going. You want to change that? You better change. Because he said, what you do here is a reflection of where you're going. So if everything's hell to you, it's because you're on your way to hell. If everything's negative, it's because you are going to the negative. You better crucify your attitudes and crucify that negativity, because God will not take a negative person and give them a body change. He will not do it. Show me one scripture where a person with a negative attitude is going to make it. I can show you many where he says, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. I can show you where Paul says, leaving those things behind, let's press forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Why do people get petty? Second Corinthians 4:2. But I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Are you commending yourself to every man's conscience in the sight of God? Are you making sure that the way you dress doesn't offend somebody? Doesn't cause someone to lust? Doesn't cause someone to blaspheme? From Go Wake Jesus, he said, now, there is another group that always hangs around, and that's the make-believer. Now, that make-believer is considered the hypocrite. Now, let's just take the make-believer. It was Judas. He was a make-believer, and the make-believer hangs on, trying to find some way that they can get something on it. They stick around long enough just to find out. If they can't find a little fault, then they go out and expose it somewhere. I thought the Bible said that love covers a multitude of sin. And Brother Brown said, if you don't have love, you're not going to go to that place. For only perfect love will be there. Well, if love covers a multitude of sin, then I would think that if you have love and you've got perfect love, to go there, you're not going to be exposing everybody's sin. You're not going to be talking about it. You're going to be praying for that person. And not getting on the phone and saying, Sister so-and-so, did you know that so-and-so did such and such? Let's pray for them. That's not love covering a multitude of sin. That's gossip. Now look, there are ways that we're taught in the Scripture to speak to one another. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians 4 and 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Gracefully, seasoned with salt. Not terse, not sarcastic, not caustic. With grace. Colossians 3 and 8. But now you also put off these. Ooh. Put off these. Anger. Wrath. Malice. Blasphemy. Filthy communication. Out of your mouth. You still cuss like a sailor? Shame on you. And you say you're getting ready for a rapture? I don't believe your testimony. Again, Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Now, if you have any problem with the sermon today, take your problem against God, because this is His word I'm reading to you. Timothy 2:8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is contrary part may be ashamed, not having any evil to say against you. But whenever you have three kinds of believers, there will be three kinds of motives for preaching the gospel. Paul said in Philippians 1 and 15, some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What are you doing? But you can't stop either one from preaching that what he's ordained to preach. In 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And the Apostle John said in 1 John 4 and 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Where do we fit in the love registry? The register of love. Where do we fit? How much love is in us? Do we hide a multitude of sin? We pray for the person. Try to find something good to say about that person, or don't say nothing at all. 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that we love, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. How about praying this? Father, help me to love that person. Put it this way. Father, pour your love for that person through me. You won't be able to contain it. I'll guarantee it. If you ask God to channel His love for a certain person through you, you will not be able to contain that love. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and they murdered Him, they mutilated Him. And so they write their books trying to show everyone that everyone is ultimately wrong but themselves. Doesn't the make-believer always do that? Everybody's wrong but me. I feel sorry for the whole bunch of them because Solomon wrote in his book, Ecclesiastes 2, 12 and 12, he said, "And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." So we see that the Word of God is presented in such a way that it actually blinds while it opens the eyes of others. What time is it? 12:20. I'm going to close at this and we'll pick this up next time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word and we ask you, Lord, to be with us today. And we pray, Father, you'd help us, Lord, each and every one of us to be soft and kind, gentle toward one another. As Brother Branham said after he preached to seals, he said, "Then what is that we should do?" He said, "Just live a good, godly Christian life and love one another." In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song together. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. One more time. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Amen. Number 84, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet song in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Amen. Well, God bless you, and we'll see you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock.